This is Scorebook Alive Today, a podcast about high school sports in the state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with Scorebook Live, and on the line, Scorebook Live Zone, Dan Dickow, Todd Millis. The Gridiron Classic has come and gone, and now it's all hoops. Today we're going to break down some of the top storylines. You guys, thanks for taking time to chat. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I know I followed all of your guys' coverage on the Gridiron Classic, and it was impressive, you know, the stories that you guys came up with as well as the pictures. So I love the fact now, though, that I get your guys' full attention on basketball, because to me, that's my love. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys cover the state with hoops this year.
Hey, way to tread water, Dan. Way to tread water for a few months to get us where you needed it.
Absolutely.
So before we get into some of the top storylines heading into the high school boys basketball season here in Washington, which games have already now just got going for the second week, we're running some rankings as we did during football season, as Dan, you did last season on scorebooklive.com/Washington. What rankings can readers find on the site throughout the season?
Yeah, you know, you and I, Andy, come up with kind of our own little, for lack of a better term, power rankings, where it's regardless of classification. And those are fun. But unfortunately, there's no scientific formula on how to do it. You know, a lot of it is eye test. A lot of it is based on who maybe we have seen in person, who we've seen some video of, who we've talked to across the state, that gives us a really good feel for things that are going on. That's one set of rankings that we have. But yeah, I've been spending some time each week dialing in a coaches poll. So we get at least eight coaches at the 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A level to participate each week. And we tabulate the votes. And it's been fun to see the excitement by the coaches. And there hasn't been a ton of movement yet in the first 2 weeks, which, quite frankly, I wasn't expecting to see. But now that we're going to start getting into a lot of games with, you know, that Christmas holiday break coming up, I would expect to start to begin to see some teams separate themselves and solidify themselves in the rankings, or some other teams to drop out. And those, to me, are awesome, because those are coming straight from the vantage point and the viewpoint of the coaches, who, once you get into the meat of the season, they know the state extremely well.
For sure. And we've already got our initial all-class top 25 on the boys' side up on the site, working on the updated all-class top 25 as of this week. Todd, you've been manning the girls' side. What can we expect throughout the season on that end?
Yeah, much of the same. You know, we're fortunate to have Freddie Recco. He won a national championship, a state championship at Central Valley a few years ago. He's a valuable consultant, especially on the east side of the state. He knows a lot of coaches. He knows his stuff. You know, if I just follow Freddie around the state, I'm going to be fine. But, you know, a lot of the same, a lot of Metro League basketball, a lot of good basketball being played in Spokane, a lot of good talent in Southwest Washington. You know, a lot of really good post players in the state of Washington, but the usual suspects, the teams that were contending and or winning state championships last year should be in that position this year. It should be fun. We'll have you covered from 4A all the way down to 1B. So just like the boys.
Right on. Awesome. So now jumping into some of the top hoops storylines heading into the season, games have already started. There have already been some really impressive individual performances, and we have Athlete of the Weeks on the boys and girls side running now on scorebooklive.com/Washington. You can find it there. Cast your vote. Already some awesome performances individually, but looking more generally, last year O'Day was a wrecking ball on its way to a 3A state title. It had Paolo Banchero, one of the best players in the country, regardless of age. Will be a professional athlete in short time. O'Day returns a lot of what it had last year. Is there going to be enough around it in 3A competing with O'Day to stop the Fighting Irish from repeating?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think that's you know, something that everybody's honestly kind of watching and waiting to see. if Garfield can gel because they've got some new faces. If Eastside Catholic, can knock O'Day, the favorite, off. If Ingram can continue to grow from what they did last year with, the addition of Maui Zay at the point guard spot. You know, another team, a couple teams that are sharing or showing some excitement around them and some buzz is Seattle Prep. They've got a lot of good pieces. But in all actuality, as I talk to more and more coaches, they are absolutely sold on how dominant O'Day has a chance to become. They're not there yet, but they have a chance to be very dominant. And I mean, we've talked about Paolo Banchero over and over throughout the summer as we gear up for basketball season. Anybody who follows the state knows just how good he is. John Christofilos, I think, has made a jump from sophomore to junior year. The interesting thing is going to be, though, who's that third piece? Noah Williams was a very talented player a season ago. Now he's now at Washington State trying to find his way at the college level. But can they find a third consistent performer? You know, Coach Kerr is one of the best in the state. I'm sure he's going to be able to figure it out, because he is so good.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to watch them a couple times scrimmage in the summer, and you know, you mentioned Christofilos. He was not playing at that time. You know, I don't know if they have a distinct third option. I think it could be by committee. They've got a couple, you know, really athletic wings. But what I do like about O'Day, and you saw it a lot with the Franklin teams here, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know they're going to be well coached. Jason Kerr is one of the best around doing that. And they're going to play defense. And quite frankly, you know this, Dan, and in 25 years, I've never talked to a basketball player who likes to be defended. So with that mixture and those two dominant type players, I think it's a lot for people to make up. I understand Garfield has an immense amount of talent. Eastside Catholic has talent and experience, and guys who have played together. I like Ingram's pieces. You mentioned Maui. I think he's a real solidifying piece. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to take a lot in a short amount of time for people to kind of make that up. I think O'Day is as convincing a number one team as we've had in 3A in a while. It'll be interesting to see what those teams do, especially in the Metro League, to try and close the gap. But, I just don't see it.
Sure. And it's 3A again this year. It's producing some of the most talented teams, at least at this point in the state. Our power rankings or our all-class top 25. O'Day is one, Garfield's two, Eastside Catholic is three. So those certainly are going to be teams to watch throughout the season. I'll be looking forward to getting out and seeing them play here in the first month, and especially as the holiday comes around and some of them start to play in holiday tournaments. One of those teams, Garfield, didn't make the postseason last year, but Brandon Roy returns after taking a step away from the head coaching position. He's 57-1 in two seasons as a head coach in the state of Washington. He took Nathan Hale to a title. He took Garfield to a title. With his return has come an influx in talented transfers. What can we expect from this Garfield team? Will they be able to gel?
Well, first off, you know, it's interesting because Brandon Roy was a heck of a high school, college, and NBA player. He's becoming a really good coach from the people that I've talked to. Now, 67-1, is that kind of indicative of his ability to coach yet, or is it indicative of his talent that he's had? You know, the jury's still out on that. I do know Brandon's feel for the game, his knowledge of the game, is as good as they get. So it will be interesting to watch as this season and future seasons progress, you know, how he evolves as a coach. But, I mean, he's got some great pieces. Tari Eason, he's on our Elite 11. this season. He continues to improve from every report that I've gotten. Kendall Munson, who's signed with Pepperdine, is an active big. I don't know if he's much on the offensive end as far as, you know, Brandon's not going to run plays for him. He's going to be more of a pick-and-roll guy, get stuff on the offensive glass. But he's a rebounder, shot blocker, defensive presence. But the player I'm most interested to hear about at Garfield is their freshman, Jalen Stewart. I've heard phenomenal reviews about him and his potential. Now, he's not there yet, but his potential is as high as maybe anybody in the Seattle area in the last, you know, few years. And that's saying something, because you guys know there is a lot of talent that comes out of Seattle.
Yeah, I echo everything Dan just said. He's had phenomenal two seasons with Garfield, and that Nathan Hale team with Michael Porter Jr., who, I mean, from a pure skill standpoint, might be the best all-around player I've seen. And I know he was here from 1 year. He was kind of a transplant here and now in the NBA. You have Tari. He's been there before. There's some background. There's some history with these two. I'm interested to see if they can really put that to rest. It was not a clean divorce when he left for Federal A after never seeing the floor in their state championship year 2 years ago. I love Tari Eason. I think I've said that on the podcast before. I love. He's got the motor. He does everything that you'd want in terms of the hustle department to win games. He can score. It's just interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all gels together, especially with Brandon coming back and them not having a lot of success. It's kind of like the Federal Way situation. They've got really good pieces that they're trying to get going in a short amount of time. Can they do that? Right now, I don't know if I would pick them as even the number two team in that league, to be honest with you. I like Eastside Catholic. I like a group that's played together. You wait till JT Tuomalo gets in basketball shape. He's as good as a four as you're going to see in the Metro League. We watched him, Dan, and Wipka. He just basically comes off the football field and can hold his own and dominate as a big man in just basketball as his number two sport. So right now, I kind of like Eastside Catholic a little more than I do Garfield. I think Garfield has a little more to prove to me. They play Seattle Prep Friday night. That'll be a good litmus test to see where they're at in the early going. But it's nice to have Brandon back, as you said, Dan. I covered him in high school. You obviously played against him in college and in the pro game. One of the best around. It's going to be interesting to see how he puts this all together.
When I started making calls leading up to the basketball season for some of our preseason content, one of those calls was to Brent Merritt over at Eastside Catholic. And he had mentioned the top freshman over at Garfield, and that was Jalen Stewart. And he goes, oh, yeah, his dad was one of the twins who played with Nate Robinson at Beach. That's Lodrick Stewart. Todd, you covered those teams. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's right. I am. I'm old. Yeah, I've covered those teams. I remember
That was not my point.
Well, I also remember that team coming into the Tacoma Dome as a heavy, heavy favorite. And it was actually Nate Robinson who, to me, watching them go win a state championship. They had a real battle with West Valley of Yakima. And Dan, you might remember the kid's name, the post player that came out of West Valley of Yakima that played against the Stewart twins. He was a handful. And it was Nate that kind of led them to that state championship. He was the star of the show. But those Stewart twins, I mean, I've never seen ninth graders on a basketball court built like that before with that kind of skill set. They were phenomenal to watch. They had great careers, and obviously we know they both went on to have pretty good college careers as well.
Certainly. Now, as we kind of round up some of the top storylines across the state, do you guys have a team? It could be at any classification, a team that may surprise people. We've been talking about 3A. This could be at 4A. It could be at one of the lower classifications. But is there a team that you guys are looking forward to seeing that might not be as talked about, that when it comes time for playoffs, everyone's going to know who they are?
You know, had we touched on these topics a week and a half or so ago, I would have said Central Valley here in the GSL in Spokane. And the reason why is I think they check a lot of boxes that you check when you're looking at teams. I don't think they have any one spectacular player. But when you talk to some people around Spokane and you get a little feel for what they have and what they do is they've got a big in Gavin Gilstrap. He's about 6'10", maybe 6'11". So it's size that you can't teach at the high school level. They've got some really athletic and big and long and competitive wings. And then they've got some experience in the backcourt. Coach Mike Laws is now it's his second year. And anytime a coach is past that first year, they're a lot more comfortable and confident in the decisions that they have to make. And it doesn't matter how much experience you have as a head assistant coach or a JV coach or how long you've been around the game. It's just the fact of the matter, the first time you go through it as a head coach at any level is an adjustment. He's already gone through that. He likes his roster. He likes the makeup of his team. And now in year two under him, you're seeing guys buy in and play the way he wants. And it shows. Week one of the regular season, you know, they knock off Gonzaga Prep despite Liam Lloyd having 46. So I would say CV is the team that, to me, the jury was out on a little bit because of some of the things that I had seen when I saw them at Gonzaga team camp over the summer. But then, you know, a lot of coaches had told me in the fall, hey, don't sleep on CV. I think they're going to be pretty good, and they've looked really good early this season.
Yeah, I like to kind of go to the 2A ranks, and I'm not – this isn't a surprise team. I just think it's a team that's ready to kind of take that final step and win a state championship, and that's North Kitsap. I had a chance to watch them. That was the first game I watched this season, but I'd watched them last year. You know, it was tough when you had a Sela with the Pepper brothers and that really good squad from Linden. North Kitsap has just sort of been knocking on the door. But I tell you, I really, really like this team. Scott Ornis is the coach. He's coached in the Metro League before. His dad was a legendary coach in Tacoma for a number of years, Bruce Ornis. He's got everything. He's got a go-to guy in Shaw Humphrey, he reminds me a lot of watching Andre Pleasant. I actually saw Andre Pleasant last night. He's a former Decatur big guard, just silky smooth. Nothing was ever forced. This young man kind of reminds me of watching Andre Pleasant 20 years ago, 25 years ago at Decatur High School. He just stands out with how smooth he is. He's a great shooter. He's a go-to scorer. He's fearless. He's a senior. This group of freshmen that everybody had been talking about are now all sophomores. Really impressive. Johnny Olmstead. They've got a couple new pieces too. Just this amazing group of sophomores, four or five guys that are not only built, but very, very skilled. They work well together. I talked to Ornes. They've been playing together since elementary school. They've all sort of grown up. They've all wanted to be part of this. And then they have a good point guard in Kobe McMillan, who can also shift to the off guard. He's a quick guard, makes things happen. I mean, they played Peninsula on Friday night and won by 50. I mean, Peninsula's probably in the middle of the pack in the SSC, but anytime a 2A school can come up and dominate a 3A school on its home court like that, I just love their pieces. I have a hard time thinking that there's a better team in 2A. I think this is the year that North Kitsap really makes a serious run at the state championship. I really encourage people that really like good team basketball to go watch those guys. I know it's out in the West Sound, but they're certainly worth the drive to go see.
Definitely our preseason number one at the 2A level. So great choice, Todd. Mine's going to be at the 3A level. This is a team that for the past 2 years, you couldn't deny the talent. The talent was there. The athleticism was there. But the question was, were they going to be able to put it all together? And that's in the 3A Greater St. Helens League, the Evergreen Plainsmen. Now, we did a Southwest Washington Media Day, Dan, you sat down with head coach Brett Henry and senior power forward or I should say, like kind of a wing, Tyler Ricketts, kind of got took a temperature on what their season might be looking like. They bring back, they have 11 seniors on this year's roster, the Plainsmen do, and about as much athleticism as you'll find in Southwest Washington with Zyle Griffin, who is just a highly recruited football player. He had he was a big-time playmaker, 6'2", wing. They play him you know, at several positions on the basketball floor. They have a sharpshooter in Carter Monda, 6'4", has a high release, and at times really went off last season. And, you know, this is a team that with, again, who, let's see, Mario Herring is the guy, 6'6", smooth down low. Got a really nice kind of back-to-the-basket game. This is a team that has a lot of athletes. Again, has sputtered last year in a league that's included mainstays such as Dan, your alma mater, Prairie, that's really owned that league. Kelso last year with Shaw Anderson, who's since graduated. There's an opportunity this year, and Evergreen has about as good of a shot to win that league, I think, as anyone. And three games into the season, three straight wins over 4A teams, two of them extremely good 4A teams. I mean, beating Skyview by, you know, 11 is no joke. I mean, Skyview was nearly a state tournament team last year, very talented team. State tournament team 2 years ago, and then beating Camas handily after that. So good start to the season by Evergreen. We'll be looking forward to see if they can maintain this play for a few months into the postseason. So that wraps up this segment of the podcast.
After the break, Dan Dickow catches up with John Kinlock, head boys basketball coach at West Valley of Yakima, and Franklin boys coach Craig Jackson. Stay with us.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, here with head coach of West Valley out of the Big Nine in Yakima, head coach John Kinlock, ninth year sole head coach, spent a couple years as a co-head coach as well as an assistant there. So he knows and has seen all things Big Nine over the years. So, John, looking forward to this season. What most excites you about your basketball team this year?
I think what I like best about our group, a couple of things. One, got a really unselfish group. When we're playing the right way, the ball's moving. Guys are just as happy to get other guys' shots as they are their own. And as coaches, we all wish and hope for that, try to coach that. But this group really does that, which is exciting. The other thing is I think we bring some experience back. We've got some guys that have been, you know, varsity players. Now this will be their second or third year of being contributing players. So, you know, I hope that'll pay off for us, you know, especially as the season goes on and you play in some tough road environments, that guys that have some experience have kind of been there, done that, have made some big shots, have made some big plays, and hopefully that gives them some confidence to be successful in those types of situations.
You mentioned going on the road and making big shots and plays in tough environments, and having players that have done that. In talking to yourself as well as a couple other coaches across the Central Washington, they've mentioned that the Big Nine is kind of an underrated league, in particular this upcoming year because of the balance and the experience. Who else do you look to besides West Valley to you know, have a great season?
It's interesting. You know, most of the league is back, which, and then you know, obviously guys improve during the off season. So, you know, I think we have, but you know, you never underestimate how much other teams have improved both individually and collectively. So, I mean, Wenatchee's tough. They return a number of guys. Davis returns their core. They're an explosive team. You know, Eastmont has their core back. So, I mean, the interesting thing in our league last year, which probably compared to the rest of the state at the 4A level, maybe was a league that was a little down chance to, you know, improve upon that because, you know, basically everybody's back in the league and hopefully improved. But, you know, in our league last year, even though we tied for first with Wenatchee and both of us went 10-2 in league, but each of us lost, one of our losses was to a sixth place team and the other was to a seventh place team, you know, in our league. So it basically meant that, you know, every league night was a battle, and if you didn't take care of business, you could get beat by anybody, and I would expect a similar situation this year.
You've got a couple kind of experienced returners that you're really excited about. One is your son, Logan Kinlock, a second-team All-League player a season ago, as well as 7'1" Connor Turner to give you a presence on the inside. Talk a little bit about what they bring to the roster this year and what you're looking from each of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Connor. I mean, he's 7'1". He's improved a ton over the last couple of years. I really believe his best basketball is going to be 3-4 years from now, and that's not to suggest that he isn't really capable right now. He's just on this great, you know, upward improvement cycle where he's just getting better and better. He's a big man that can pass, make mid-ranges, makes his free throws, just, you know, has a great presence in the middle, learning to wall up, not just block shots, but just affect a lot of shots. So, you know, we got to keep him healthy, but he's going to, you know, score the ball more than he did last year for us. He's really blossoming as a post player in addition to facing the basket. And then, you know, Logan's a good shooter. You know, he's made a lot of big shots for us over the last couple of years, couple of game winners. I think his strength has improved. Also very unselfish, I think, sometimes to a fault, but a person that makes others better. Is kind of a crafty defender and rebounder too. So excited about both those guys, but you know, we've got 3 or 4 other guys too. You know, James Dorsett is a point guard, Trey Funk returning as a wing. Both is very capable players in the mix that we're excited about that can, you know, go off for a big night at any given moment based upon how the defense guards us.
One of the most interesting things to me is when teams have a good handle on their league and their region district, but the ability to get outside of their comfort zone and go play teams from different parts of the state, or maybe even have the chance to play different teams in the country at different events. But you guys are playing in a unique one called the Fitz this upcoming weekend. You'll play 2 Spokane area teams, Mount Spokane as well as Ferris, but it's probably also special to you because it's named after your former college coach, Dan Fitzgerald. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are hoping to gain out of this weekend.
Yeah, on the personal side, it's just great being around Fitz's family, his wife Darlene, you know, his brother Jim, guys that, you know, people that I got to know really well in my time at GU. It's just very special. Sometimes it's hard to articulate that to the teams playing in the event who don't really know him or his impact. I make sure that I share with our team, you know, how much he influenced me personally as a player, but in life and in coaching, that it's really rewarding to be around that event. And we played it the first 2 years and got invited to go back, and we accepted that invitation in a heartbeat. They do such a great job. They put it on like a national tournament. I mean, they put the teams up in hotels, they beat them, there's a banquet. This year, the West Coast Conference Commissioner is the speaker. So it's just a great event for our guys to be a part of, and even more special, you know, because of the personal connection. Kind of fun too. Ferris, one of our opponents, has McCoy Spank. Scott Spank, his father, was both a high school and a college teammate of mine. I don't know if you knew that, Dan, but Scott and I we actually grew up on the same street.
Awesome.
So played together. And obviously multiple Spinks going through the Gonzaga program. That'll be a lot of fun to do that. But yeah, to get out of our area, obviously we're playing two teams that I would put up there in any classification as being 2 really, really good teams that we're going to play right out of the gate. And I'm just hoping that we just see how we measure up early in the season. If that means, you know, getting a win, awesome. If not, we'll see how we stack up against some teams that have experienced a lot of success recently.
Well, that's an event that I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping to make it out to at least the first night of games, and I know if I do, we'll come across each other. So wish you guys nothing but the best of luck this weekend as well as throughout the rest of the year, and look forward to following you guys on ScorebookLive.com as well as Scorebook Live Washington, and following when at West Valley as well as all the other teams in the Big Nine. So, Coach, appreciate it, and best of luck this season. Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, here with Franklin of the Metro League's head coach, Craig Jackson. He's been at the school for about 20 years. He's going into his seventh year as head coach. He has seen a lot of good players, not just good players, but great players come through not only his program at Franklin, but the Seattle Metro League. He's got a lot of wealth of talent on his roster. He's just looking to meld and mold the young group into becoming a force to be reckoned with. So, Coach, appreciate you joining us today. Excited for a new year, I can imagine. Tell us a little bit about what you're looking to see from your young ball club.
Well, thank you for having me. First off, our young team, I just want them to learn how to play the game the right way and hard, fast and hard. Learn the basics, also raise their IQ. So we've been working on a lot of, you know, a little different defenses, but we're going to get out and guard folks and not back down. Just because we're small, we're not going to back down. Offensively, I think we have the speed to get up and down like a traditional Franklin team, like a traditional most of the Metro teams. The only difference is that we're going to be almost a 6 foot and under team playing in the league that has some big giants. So we got to get out and make those guys chase us. We got to share the ball. We've got to have crazy ball movement and then just crazy energy on the defensive level. And I think on a different defensive end of the ball, and I think that we can honestly probably go right around 8, 9, 10 deep, and hopefully that helps us out, that we'll be that deep, because they're all young.
You mentioned playing like a typical Franklin team, and that's fast and aggressive. Some of the best guards in Seattle Metro history have come through Franklin. You look at Jason Terry, Peyton Siva, Aaron Brooks. You have a young guard, Tariq Harris, that you really like. I guess touch on the first three guys that I mentioned, and then your newcomer, Tariq Harris, what he brings to the table.
Well, Jason has won at every level, so he's been a champion at every level, two in high school, one in college, and in the NBA. The old man, you know, if you want to call him in the NBA, played into years where he's not supposed to stay there, but he was a student of the game, and he just played the game the right way. And then you had our young guy, I call him still young guy, Aaron Brooks, because I had him for one game as a JV guy, and he just went nuts, and then the next day, the head coach here, Jason Kerr, at that time, moved him into the starting lineup against Garfield, and he just handled his business from then on, and ended up being a McDonald's All-American, drafted, played in the league, Oregon All-American, all that. And then Siva was just the... Siva is the kind of guard that Tariq Harris could be. I mean, he's got enough flash and enough speed to get by anybody. He can shoot the ball pretty well. I think Siva didn't shoot it that well at the beginning of his high school career, and he got it going as a junior and a senior. And Tariq's right at that junior year, so I expect big things out of him. They both can play the one and or the two. I think Siva had a little bit of monster in him on the defensive end that Tariq doesn't have, and we're trying to bring that out of him. But as far as talent, I think he's high school talent. He's right up there with those guys. He's done for 25 points and a half when he didn't play the first half, being sick. Sick going for 25 is crazy to me in any level. But the kid actually has the type of talent to play Division One, maybe not a high level Division One, but he has the talent to play Division One basketball in a couple of years here. So we're just really proud and happy to see how far he goes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow his career as he continues to improve. And when you mention him with some of the other guards and some of the characteristics, that's high praise. So hopefully he can keep improving and lead the charge for a young Quaker ball club this year. You guys start this season on the road. Now, not just on the road, say, down at Federal Way or down in Olympia, Tacoma, but literally on the road, Stockton, California. You guys are heading down there. I believe you'll be down there for 4 games. That's something that I've talked to a lot of coaches. They say they love to get out during the December month and play an out-of-town tournament. It helps guys, the chemistry, and it helps you as coaches learn strengths and weaknesses your ball club early. How did the tournament to Stockton come about, and what are you looking to see?
Well, we usually, traditionally, we travel during the holiday season, during Christmas time, to either San Diego, San Luis Obispo, went to Louisville, Kentucky 1 year, Hawaii. But we usually travel at that time. But we had elite teams at that time playing in elite tournaments. This year, and then we've also thrown our own during that time. But this year, I knew the group was going to be young, and I think it's best to get away to actually see what we got. My staff and I sat down and talked about some things. When we try to get it away, it might be good for them when they do some team bonding. And go away. So I didn't find the tournament. The tournament actually found me. It's the Stockton Children's Varsity Classic, and it's ran by Edison High School. But it puts money back into their community, into the Stockton Children's Home. And my godson, DeAndre Hawthorne, is the head coach of Edison. So it's kind of a family thing, come down and play in my tournament. Which was great for me. I thought about California is not L.A., it's Stockton. But they get to go down there and play against some good talent in L.A., some California talent, as well as now they get to do some community service. They're going to go to the Stockton Children's Home, and they're going to talk to some kids that are less fortunate. We're going to actually take in a Pacific and, I think, Fullerton basketball game, so they get to see how college guys play. And there's a kid from Seattle playing for Pacific down there, Pierre Cromwell. They're going to get to go down there and see him play firsthand in a Division One environment, see what a Division One environment is like. So outside of the University of Washington, where they can go watch games. But just being able to get on a plane, go stay in a hotel, kind of gives them what it's going to be like for them if this is what they want to do at the next level in college. So we want to expose them to everything that's ahead for them in the future, let them see what it's going to take to get here. So I think it's just a great advantage for us in a way. Plus, we really can't be scouted, and we don't know what we're going to look like, but we at least get a chance to make some changes and some tweaks and come back here and get ready for a rough Metro schedule.
Sounds like it should be a good experience for your whole entire program. So I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck. But you mentioned it getting you ready for the Metro League. We just released our coaches poll for Scorebook Live Washington at the 3A level, as well as our own Scorebook Live panel, and it is littered with Metro League teams from top to bottom. There's no way around it. Metro League is probably the best league in the state. There's a good chance it's the best basketball league on the entire West Coast. This year, there seems to be an unbelievable amount of talent. Talk about the rivalries and just the pride of Seattle basketball before I let you go.
All right. It's great because I played at Roosevelt High School. My rivalry at that time was Nathan Hale. But really, the rivalry at that time was Garfield for everybody. Everybody wanted to beat Garfield because of the history that they have. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was crazy. I never got a chance to play against O'Day. But O'Day started with making a great statement in state tournaments and the state its own with great players and great records and great coaches. So now you've got one on the private side, you always have one on the public side. And then now with, the way our city is growing, everybody is good. Teams that used to be the doormat are actually very, 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 very good. You've got Ingram in the north, who's very big, very talented, very well coached. And then you've got Eastside Catholic on the east side that can beat anybody on any given night, too. It's just crazy because, like I said, any given night, anybody can beat you and anybody can give you their best. And everybody gives their best because you're just actually playing in, as you said, maybe one of the best leagues on the West Coast, period. It was funny, we were just at a jamboree, and Life Christian beat both us and Rainier Beach in our quarter, and it was like they just won the state championship. And they felt, because they came down here and they played against two Metro League schools, and fared very well. That, you know, then now they're ready. They see what they have. I guess that's just us. Metro League is the testing ground for everybody. If you can come in and hang with a Metro team, you know, you got a great chance. And if you can beat them in a quarter and you feel like you won a state championship, you might be on the right track, really, honestly. So I think, you know, it's wide open. Our Metro League is tough. You know, I think O'Day, since they're champs, you got to beat the champs. And they have a great player. I mean, Paulo Banchero is one of the best players in the nation. But Eastside Catholic is right there with them. Garfield's going to be right there with them. And I like Ingram's chances of being in that same mix with them.
Well, Coach, looking forward to following all the action in the Metro League this year. Obviously, I'm looking forward to following you guys. Wish you guys nothing but the best of luck as you kick off the season in Stockton as well as the rest of the way. And thanks for joining Scorebook Live Washington's podcast today.
Thank you, Dan. Hey, and Scorebook Live, you do a great job for the kids out here, for our league and leagues around the state. We appreciate you guys. Just keep doing what you do for us. We love that.
Appreciate it.